Okay, welcome everyone. This is Gary Spackman, Department of Water Resources. And we have a myriad of people who have joined and continue to join. The hour is 10 a.m. in the morning, or maybe a minute after right now. And perhaps some will continue to join. But anyway, this is the pre-hearing conference for applications. Two of them that were filed in the name of Cat Creek Energy, application for water right 63-34403 and 63-34652. And I understand that there are two additional applications that have been filed. We'll talk about those today. But before we start, let's call roll. And I have a several-page list here of people that we anticipate should be on the phone today. All right, so Cat Creek Energy, Randy or TJ Budge?
Yes, we're both on the call. Good morning.
Okay, good morning, Randy. Your response was a little faint. And I don't know whether that was us or you. Alan Thompson? Hello?
Yeah, this is Alan Thompson.
Thank you, Alan. Valentine Ditch?
Yes, this is Bryce Ferris on behalf of the Ditch Companies, what's been called the Ditch Companies, which includes a couple irrigation districts also.
Thank you, Bryce. Boise Project.
Al Barker's present, Your Honor.
Thank you, Al. And Boise Valley, is that you, Bryce, I assume?
Yes.
Canyon County Water, the same?
Yes.
City of Boise?
Yes, Director Spackman, Abby Germain is on the line. I believe that John Rolden is also present for the City of Boise.
Okay, thank you, Abby. City of Meridian?
Yes, this is Charlie Hostinger from City of Meridian. I believe that Kyle Raddick might be on the line as well.
Thank you, Charlie. District of Park Center and S-Bar Ranch?
Yes, Your Honor. Good morning, Director. Will, do you want to say go first?
Sure. Good morning, Director. Will Fletcher and Dana Hofstetter on the line to SBR and the District of Park Center.
All right. Thank you. I heard both of you. Sorry.
Sorry. Excuse me, Director Spackman. I just wanted to mention we may have a couple of other representatives of our clients on the phone also, Heidi Walsh with Bronx Water Engineers, and I believe perhaps Chris Stevens may also be on the line.
All right, thank you. Eureka Water, Bryce?
Yes.
Farmers Co-op, Bryce?
Yes.
Gwen Rice Ranch? Jim, are you out there? I guess not. Idaho Conservation League.
Good morning, Director. Marie Kelly-Hilner here for IPL.
Thank you, Marie. Idaho Department of Fish and Game.
This is Ann Bundy for the Department of Fish and Game and IDL.
Thank you, Ann. Idaho Power Company.
Good morning, Director John Simpson.
Thanks, John. And then I have a whole list of ditch companies: Bryce, Middleton Mill, Middleton Irrigation, Nampa Meridian, New Dry Creek, Pioneer Ditch Company, Pioneer Irrigation District, and let's see, that's the end of that list. Let me find the others, Bryce. Settlers, South Boise Water, and Thurman Mill. I think that's the whole list, Bryce, of the ditch companies.
That sounds right.
Okay. All right, we got you. Riverside Irrigation.
That's me, Al Barker.
Thanks, Al. And I do have S-Bar Ranch, but I think, Dana, you have... What did I call out earlier? No, I had them listed together, so it's twice. Thanks. I'm getting close. Suez Water.
Yes, Director. This is Mike Lawrence on behalf of Suez.
Thank you, Mike. Treetop Ranches. Don't have a response from Treetop. Trout Unlimited. Peter?
Peter Anderson here for Trout Unlimited, chapter and council.
Thank you, Peter. Department of Interior.
Brett Price.
Go ahead, Brett.
Brett Price with BLM, and I think Sandra McCray from my office will be close too.
Good morning, Director. This is Lisa Lance with the Office of the Solicitor.
Lisa Lance. Lisa?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Oh, great. Go ahead.
Director, I'm sorry. This is Dana Hofstetter. I accidentally disconnected when I unmuted, and so I'm back on. Just wanted to let you know.
Thank you, Dana. And Lisa, are you also representing the Department of Interior Bureau of Reclamation?
Yes, Director.
Thank you. Wendy Combs? Didn't hear a response. And Wildlands Defense. Okay, I also want to mention that on this list I at least have Idaho Water Engineering listed, although they're not a party, but are they represented here?
Yes, Dave Tuchel with Idaho Water Engineering. On behalf of Tech Creek Energy.
Thank you, Dave. All right, is there anybody that I'm... I'm sorry, Hal?
Yes, sir.
I thought I heard you and I interrupted.
Water Engineer at Tech Creek.
All right, thanks, Hal. Anybody else I've missed? Okay.
Good morning, Director. James Tarkoulis, Tech Creek Energy.
Thanks, James.
John Boltner for Cat Creek Energy.
Welcome, John. Anybody else? Okay. As I recall, this pre-hearing conference was scheduled as a check-in after the deadlines that were established at the last pre-hearing conference. We wanted to get back together and discuss where to go from here. There are a couple of, a motion that's been filed with the director, and a response was filed to the motion on Friday. And I have read the documents. Staff has worked through some of, I think all of the submittals. So let me back up just a little more. there were some deadlines that were established for distribution of information required by Rule 40 of the department's water appropriation rules. And that information has been disseminated, at least some information has, on a common node out there that the parties are now, it's my understanding, are able to access electronically. And the motion that was filed for the purpose of, as I can characterize it, and I'll give Ms. Hofstetter a moment to just explain the motion. I'm not inviting, by the way, oral argument, but I think it's important at least to describe what the motion is about, and then I'll give Cat Creek an opportunity to at least talk about the motion itself. But I want those remarks to be summary in nature. And then I'm prepared to at least talk about those motions today and define a direction forward. So let's talk about the motion. Dana, I'll at least give you the lead, and you or Mr. Fletcher can talk briefly about the motion, if you will.
Thank you, Director Spackman. I appreciate the opportunity. You know, really, our motion is a follow-up to the our last pre-hearing conference, where there was quite a bit of discussion and interest in obtaining the Rule 40.05 information to flesh out the application. And as the notice of continued pre-hearing conference that you issued for today's pre-hearing, it was explained that CACPIG was granted until the end of March to provide the Rule 40.05 information. Otherwise, the director would issue a 30-day deadline order. And so the issue here is whether the information that's on the repository of this satisfies the Rule 40.05 criteria. And I think in the response that Cat Creek filed, they seem to think we were only after the financial information. That was just an example of the kind of insufficient information that was provided. I mean, it was a data dump. As there were four more documents posted this morning, but they were relating to the application, to the new application. But basically, it's just a lot of, it looks like a lot of stuff, but it's not really Rule 40.05 compliant. The issues in the information needs of Rule 40.05 are largely unaddressed. And rather than go through the details again, I mean, we have Heidi Wells of Sprunk Water Engineers reviewed the documents. They're all described on this chart, and you know, the information provided and the information that's missing. The information that's missing is identified in red. And so there's a lot of general information. There's a lot of wildlife studies that have been done for other purposes. I mean, there's over 100 biological impact documents, I believe, but none of them really address this project specifically. So, you know, it's not the Rule 40.05 information that the rule asks for. And just to focus on the financial information, because, the applicant has requested that, apparently, that the party sign a non-disclosure agreement to obtain that information. Well, Rule 40.05 says that we have a right to make sure this project, from a financial standpoint, passes the straight-faced test. And we're entitled to that much information. Are we wasting our time here? Is this application financially viable? You know, do these promoters actually have the potential? And you know, we're not disputing the Shelton standard. It's a reasonably probable standard. It's not a theoretically possible standard. And I think the applicant is interpreting it as, is it theoretically possible that Cat Creek Energy may obtain the financing? It's theoretically possible. The standard is reasonably probable. And we are entitled to that quantum of information that is would substantiate that this is not just a pipe dream. Are we wasting our time here? We are entitled to that level of information. The non-disclosure agreement that they propose is really inadequate. Cat Creek Energy gets to decide what information is confidential or not, and you freely get to decide that. Cat Creek Energy can't be in the position of deciding what information is confidential or not. We need to be able to review the information, have our experts look at it, tell us, you know, if it meets the reasonably probable standard, and we need to be able to use the information at hearing, and that is one of the criteria under the statute of financial resources. So the non-disclosure agreement that's proposed is just not acceptable. It's not functional, and it doesn't meet Rule 40.05, because Hack Creek Energy can freely decide what it withholds and how that information is used in this proceeding. The standard is Rule 40.05. The information, while there's, I think as of this morning, 233 documents on the repository, is either information, the applications themselves that are publicly available, or just general studies without any specific. There is one study by Hal Anderson that is specific. We had to number the documents because they're unnumbered, but according to our numbering, which is document number 19. It's a report. It is somewhat specific, but it does have a lot of gaps, and it doesn't meet the water supply standard of Rule 40.05. So that's really what it's about. We're asking for the director to issue an order requiring adequate and complete Rule 40.05 information within 30 days.
Okay, thanks, Dana. Randy or TJ, brief response.
Thank you, Director. I'll take to heart your comments that arguments are not needed, and the Director is prepared to act on the motion. With due respect to Ms. Hofstetter, I appreciate she went quite a ways beyond explaining the motion and attempted to argue it, but we'll heed the Director's directive. We don't feel that argument is necessary if it's not invited by the Director. We'll stand on our response brief, coupled with the two declarations of James Karkulis and Larry Lee, and we'll stand on those and let the Director go ahead and decide based on it, although we would be willing to argue it if the Director wants, but it doesn't seem like that's necessary. I would like to comment, before we get back into the overall discussion of where the water right filings are and the new filings are, since we did delve into the issue, both the Director and Ms. Hofstetter, on the disclosures that were filed. I would report on that first and comply with the Director, or advise the Director and the parties that Cat Creek's position is that we have fully complied with the order. In fact, we did timely file our notice of disclosure under Rule 40.5 on March 31st. We'll admit that there were some technical difficulties getting some of the parties access to that. We worked diligently to resolve it, and by April 13th, all parties were given complete access to the portal, both as requested. So while there was a little bit of delay, there's certainly no harm or no foul, particularly where no hearing date or schedule has been set. I will make a couple of comments on that particular portal. Those who have may not have looked at it yet. Our records show that there have been 16 parties to the proceedings that have accessed the portal. The content there is contained in 8 different folders that are categorized. Those parties that are interested in particular aspects can go through them in a convenient fashion. We have posted in excess of 290 documents, over 500 megabytes. The material, if somebody wants to look at the list, attachment A to our reply brief is a 10-page, single-page, itemized list of what's been posted. So it has been substantial and is a pretty monumental task. I would comment also that those that are using the portal have an opportunity to go into each of the sub-files if they wish. And they can check a box on any or all of them. And when they check a box, that will mean that any information posted in that particular file is new information. They will be notified of that automatically by email. And that provides a very convenient way for interested parties to be able to track not only what is in there, but new information as it is added. We expect that to happen continuously right up until the hearing date in compliance with whatever discovery deadlines may be issued once the hearing date is set. I would also mention that there is a section containing questions and answers, and that enables anybody that's interested, those parties who have access to the portal, to answer questions, and Cat Creek will post answers. That way everyone can readily look at the questions and answers that have been posted and avoid duplication as a matter of simplicity. So to that extent, I think that describes compliance with that disclosure portion. And I won't further argue the substance of the motion, which I think we discussed in our brief adequately and is supported by the court affidavit.
All right, thank
you. All I have to say on that, Director, whenever the Director desires, I'm prepared to go ahead as well and discuss and provide an update regarding the pending applications.
Yeah. Randy, we need to talk about the pending applications. Let's talk about this motion related to the two applications that are the subject, at least the immediate subject, of this particular pre-hearing conference right now. I want to ask if the audible is loud enough for everybody participating. It's faint at our location, and I just want to ensure that everybody is able to hear. Is there any difficulty out there? Okay. Well, we can hear. It's,
I can hear fine there.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said this is Hal Anderson. I can hear just fine, Director Spackman.
Okay, thanks. Well, we can hear, but it's rather faint, so if you can be close to your telephone or whatever medium you're using to connect, I'd appreciate it. All right. Well, I want to look at and refer to our rules of procedure, water appropriation rules. And the place I want to start is Rule 40.05, additional information requirements. And then there is a subparagraph B. And I'd give you a page number, but we tried to refer to page numbers, and depending on the format, the pages weren't correct. But this says, for protested applications or protested permits being reprocessed, the information required by Rule 40.05C may be requested by the director to be submitted within 30 days after notification by the director. So that's the first of three parts. May be made a part of the record of the hearing held to consider the protest. That's the second one. Or may be made available in accordance with any pre-hearing discovery procedures. Then failure to submit the required information within the time period allowed will be cause for the director to void an application or to advance the priority of the permit being reprocessed. So there are three alternatives here, and they're separated by an or. And I, at least my interpretation as I've struggled with this, is that any one or all of these alternatives may be employed in the contested case where there's a protested application. And the order of these seems to me to be important. In other words, the information, unless the hearing officer or the director determines otherwise, the information needs to be submitted to begin with, if the director determines that it should be, and then perhaps should be made part of a discovery process. And then in the end, there's a determination about whether it should become a part of the record or not. So I intend to employ all three of these alternatives, and I want to commend Cat Creek for submitting information, and has been cataloged in an appendix. And I recognize that sometimes in establishing an electronic portal or any kind of electronics, there are difficulties. And so I appreciate Cat Creek's efforts in trying to disseminate information. Now, based on my review of the motion and staff review of the documents, the order in which the documents have been placed in the portal is difficult. And the reason that staff is having difficulty, and I think the reason that Dana and others may be having difficulty, is because the cataloging or the indexing is not pursuant to the criteria that the director is required to review statutorily and by the rules. In other words, the information should be indexed or cataloged according to the criteria that's set forth in Idaho Code Section 42-203A, and then the rules which follow the same order. And the cataloging doesn't lead the parties into those criteria. And so I intend to issue an order that the information needs to be indexed within 30 days under the headings of the criteria that the department reviews and that the parties must address in this contested case. So within 30 days, Cat Creek needs to reorder the information in the portal so that information falls within the headings in the portal of those criteria, so the parties can then go directly to that particular heading and find the information. Now, Ms. Hofstetter has suggested a way in which to index. I appreciate her suggestion, but it's up to Cat Creek to set up that structure. But at a minimum, it should be in the order of the criteria so parties can access it. Then I think there's an opportunity, once the information is out there, for the parties to engage in discovery. So one of the actions that I will take is that I will authorize the parties to begin discovery. All right, now let's focus on financial resources just for a minute. And our review of the submittals and the information that we have received results in a conclusion that the submittal of financial information is deficient. And I know in the response, Randy, and in some of the declarations, there are statements about the propriety nature of the information and the financial sensitivities. But I go to the rules again, and again, this is Rule 40. 05, additional information requirements, and I come to this is, I think, subparagraph F. I hope I've done this correctly. And it says information relative to financial resources. Section 42-203A 5D Idaho Code shall be submitted. And then I'll reverse the order because I think it makes more sense. So I'll quote Roman numeral small case 2. The applicant shall submit plans and specifications along with estimated construction costs for the project works. The plan should be definite enough to allow for determination of project impacts and implications. So those construction costs and the plans related to them need to be submitted. And that's what the rules say. And then second, once there's an estimate of costs, then the applicant also needs to submit a current financial statement certified to show the accuracy of the information, or a financial commitment letter along with financial statement of the lender or other evidence to show that it is reasonably probable the financing will be available. And I don't find that information anywhere in the submittals. And so in fact, and I'll just refer to the declaration of James Karkulis and the attachment, the Exhibit A, that he refers to. And I'm troubled a little bit, more than a little, because it says, however Cat Creek is willing, this is paragraph 12 of the declaration, Cat Creek is willing to provide a redacted summary of its budget, a copy of which is attached here to as Exhibit A, to illustrate the detailed analysis upon which the total construction cost is based. And I turn to Exhibit A, and all I see is black ink. That's all. In fact, I don't. There may be a couple of numbers, but I can't reconcile that statement with the attachment. And honestly, it's not what's required by the rules now. There has been significant discussion about a protective agreement or a protective order, but the requirements or what happens in front of the PUC doesn't control what happens in front of the Department of Water Resources. And our rules require the information to come in. If Cat Creek wants a protective order, then Cat Creek needs to submit the detailed information to the department and then move for a protective order. And then the director, if Cat Creek wants information protected, then the director and staff will review the information and determine whether it's sensitive or not. And then we'll determine whether there should be some protection. So that information needs to come in from Cat Creek also within the 30 days. Okay. Now I think I've been through at least the issues of the motion. And the deadline of 30 days will apply along with the possible negative results of non-submittal that are described in the rule. Okay. Now, do we need to talk more about what's in the motion? I think what I've talked about disposes of the motion, Dana and Randy.
I have one item. Go ahead, Dana, first.
Well, yeah, one thing I'd like to request is that the documents are also numbered. If Cat Creek Energy we provided a numbered system for identification of the documents, but if they've we could use our numbering system that we've already established. I think it was just in order of the documents postings or something to that effect, but it would be helpful if we all had numbers, a common system for referencing the respective documents. So I would ask that the department considering adding that to its order. And then finally, also, I'm wondering with respect to the other elements of Rule 40.05 besides the financial resources information. I'm not sure I understand the director's decision on those items. Is it just a matter of cataloging or is something more required there?
Well, Dana, at least at this point, until the information is indexed so that both the department and the parties can analyze that information, I'm not determining anything related to the information that's been submitted for the other criteria. I think it's premature for me to determine the adequacy of that information. But I am determining, at least right now, that the submittal of the financial information required by the rules is deficient.
Thank you for the clarification. I appreciate that.
Now, with respect to your question or your request for numbering, what is it that you're looking for? Not an exhibit numbering.
Well, in discovery, there's normally base numbers assigned to documents, and it helps the parties refer to certain documents. And so we gave each of the 233 documents a number, 1 through 233, and then we've noted on that Exhibit A to our motion, we noted the number of pages. So we can just continue to use that numbering system if that's what folks want to use. But it's just very helpful because, you know, otherwise we'll be talking about, you know, the document that has this title in this folder. And, you know, and some of the documents may have similar titles. And it's just easier for each document to be assigned a number. And then we refer to pages by the number of the document with a point page number following it. It just makes it easier in larger cases like this one where that are document intensive to have a document numbering system.
In response, Dana. Go ahead.
Yes.
I was just going to refer you to Exhibit A of our motion, and we had one of our document management specialists go through the repository and basically just number the documents. And so you can see it's 1 through 229, and then it knows how many pages. So when instead of referring to the document by title, which is the file name column, we can just refer to a number, which is, you know, then we're all sure we're talking about the same document.
This is Gary Spackman again. I'm not prepared to assign a numbering system today. I'd encourage the parties to work together, particularly those who are active in a discovery process, to number those documents. Randy, responses?
Yes, thank you. We certainly can go in and reorganize that portal accordingly. We'll do so immediately. When we set it up, we did have some struggle and question on what was the best way to use it. The comments are well taken. We'll take up with our technical folks as well Dana's suggestion that perhaps a numbering system could work with the document. I did have one area of question that I did want to pose, and that is the timing of financial information. I will indicate that we will not be posting anything directly on the portal until we've had a ruling on confidentiality. and we will go ahead and file, the director encouraged, within 30 days our motion for a protective order, and we'll file the protected information under seal for the director's review to enable that order to be issued before there's any additional financial information posted on the site. And that is because of the highly confidential and proprietary nature. I won't argue that further. I think that was addressed in the declarations. I would raise one question for the director. In our brief, we had cited the Scopel v. Dunn case, 109 Idaho 330, and that case specifically addressed the financial information that has to be necessary on a project of this nature. And the court ruling seemed to indicate that what is necessary to showing that it is reasonably probable that he or she will obtain the necessary financing within 5 years. And so that is a question of some significance here. Is a ruling from the director that detailed financial information had to be submitted prior to the hearing. That is an ongoing process. Cass Creek participates in the debt equity markets as well as PPAs that are out there requested by various utilities, which is very competitive, and that's the reason the information is so confidential. But we do need clarification on what is deemed to be reasonably probable that financing will be obtained within 5 years, not within the date of the hearing, or not within a day between now and the hearing. We will be posting information that will likely change on an ongoing basis. What will be presented at the hearing will likely be different than today because of ongoing financing efforts. And furthermore, once the project permit is issued and the other conditions of going forward with the project have been met, as that would be the point in time that determinations would be made regarding debt financing and equity financing. So I think it was careful. I urge caution by the director in issuing the order that note be taken of the requirements set by the Supreme Court, that it's only required reasonably probable information that we'll be able to obtain financing, with the timing of that information very critical. We simply need to show, in our view, according to the Supreme Court, not financing is immediately available, but what is expected to be available within the 5-year period of the permit.
Randy, this is Gary Spackman. I appreciate your reference to Scopel v. Dunn. It's a seminal case out there. But on the other hand, you're asking, I think, for some determination or opinion regarding the ultimate determination that the department has to make or reach in this matter. And my statements, at least heretofore, are that in our review, there isn't information that will satisfy the bare minimum required by the rules. And I think once that minimum is established, then we'll get into the determination of whether the applicant has satisfied the burden of proof or not. And I suspect that some of that information or additional information will come in through a discovery process. But there is a minimum requirement of the rules, and my determination is that Cat Creek hasn't satisfied the minimum. In fact, there's almost no information except a statement of perhaps the total cost of the project and then what's contained in the two affidavits that were submitted to the department. So I think your inquiry is premature, Randy, and we'll get to it, but not today.
No, I appreciate that. I expect we'll get to that on the motion for the protective order. I just wanted to make the point about the importance of the timing of the information. Well, I certainly respect and understand the director's ruling that what we posted now is inadequate, and we expect to fully remedy that, but it will need to be pursuant to some type of a protective order that recognizes that this valuable information could create economic advantage for other competitors and disadvantage this project with respect to not only the debt and equity markets, but also the critical power purchase agreements and other agreements that are in progress.
All right.
Further on that particular point.
Director Stackman, this is Dana Hofstetter again. I have a question about the process as Randy brought up for this information. And I understand that it's to be submitted to the department for review initially, but I was wondering in connection with that provision of the information to the department, whether the parties might have some opportunity to comment on what would be appropriate as far as, if anything, regarding a protective order for that information. Will there be some sort of a process available to the parties to sort of provide their positions on the scope and necessity of any protective order?
Well, I can address that we anticipate submitting the information to the director as a part of our motion for a protective order in camera so the director can review it himself and him only. And if the director deems it's appropriate to make an in-camera eyes-only review of some of that information by some of the parties, if the director has questions for it, then I assume the director can handle it the way he sees fit and will recognize his discretion in that regard. I don't want to predetermine or make any commitments with respect to the information until it's been identified by Cat Creek, until we've actually also made it available for the director's review.
Yeah, but I think my question was more in terms of the party's right to review the information and perhaps with their experts that are, you know, are in the field of provide comments to the department regarding the proprietary nature of the information and whether a protective order is or is not necessary and what that scope of that protective order might be. And the parties under the department's rules have a right to access the information also, and I think we all need. It's sort of a balance between protecting Cat Creek Energy, but also providing the parties the information they need and the department to proceed in this case.
This is Gary again. The submittal of the information as proposed by Randy Budge is a companion motion for a protective order within the 30 days is what I contemplated would be proposed or what Cat Creek would want to do. I would ask that Cat Creek post on its portal a general description of what was submitted, but I need to have the information come in and then look line by line or subject by subject to determine what's proprietary and what ought to be disclosed. And I think once that review is complete, then we'll issue a protective order, and Dana, you can review the information that's not redacted. And if you want to pursue the disclosure of additional information, you can pursue it through discovery or through some motion practice in front of the department.
Thank you for the clarification. Yep. Appreciate that.
Okay.
Just on that same point, Director and parties, I think it. I might as well give some indication that I do anticipate at some point, and it may be in conjunction with our motion to for a protective order, or we may save it for a later date. But once we have done some discovery into the various interests the parties have here, we anticipate filing a motion to limit the involvement and participation and scope of information that may be available to certain parties that do not have any water right interests affected. There are some, in particular, Bar F and Park Center that appear to have no water rights interest affected. Quite frankly, we're not certain what their motivation or interest is here, but we are very concerned that their main objective is to use financial information to find a way to kill the project before other governmental entities that are in permitting processes, as well as to obtain competitive advantages with respect to other renewable energy projects across the West that are competing for these critically important power purchase agreements that are being sought by utilities as they convert from carbon-based resources to renewable resources. And in all honesty, we have to have, we may require some information from the Holly Topsail firm with respect to whether or not they represent other landowners or developers who also may be involved in this competitive project. Knowing how many folks we have done some work in our small firm here in Pocatello for renewable energy developers and landowners, one has to believe that the council representing these protestants have a significant interest through other clients of gaining economic advantage and disadvantaging the Cat Creek project. And I just wanted to make note of the concern now that we will also raise by way of appropriate motion regarding the nature and scope of the participation of certain parties who have no water right interest and on why their, what their concerns are on the project.
Randy, this is Dana. I need to respond to that. This, first of all, I think you need to check the facts before you proceed with your motion. And if you did some research on the Department of Water Resources website, you would find that both FBAR Ranch and also the District at Park Center hold water rights that are potentially impacted by this project. So, I mean, while you're, your theories are.
We anticipate some, I don't think we need to have your argument with respect to the rights. This would be applicable to all parties. We want to do some preliminary discovery. So we understand it, and once we have the discovery responses, then we'll identify whether further motion is appropriate. I just wanted to give the parties notice of that.
You made the assertion, I've explained it to you on previous occasions, both SBARs and the district water right interest. You don't seem to remember, but in any event, you made the assertion that they do not have water rights potentially impacted by this application, and that's just factually not correct.
All right, well, let's move on. I want to engage the other parties. They've been patient listening to a protracted discussion about the motion and probably my overly long explanation of what I intend to do. Do the other parties wish to comment at this stage? Then we'll talk about the two new applications that were filed. Other parties want to voice some opinion or concern at this point.
Director Spackman, this is Abby Germain with the City of Boise.
Yes, Abby.
Director Spackman, I appreciate the direction that you've given today with setting a deadline of 30 days for both recataloging information that's been provided and also requiring some showing of financial information. My request to the director would be that if that information is not submitted within 30 days as ordered today, will the director void the application as presented and require that a new priority date or that the application be reprocessed at that time?
Well, thanks for the request and the guess the desire for additional clarification. My concern is that I don't, as I read the rules, I don't see that the director has to commit one way or the other, and it may depend on the way in which the information comes in and whether the deficiencies are glaring or not. So I'll reserve any opinion right now related to the possible remedies and just say that they're out there, and I could exercise them if I choose to. But I don't think that the 30-day requirement also requires that I, before requiring the submittal, also state what the ultimate remedy will be at the end if the information is not submitted. Thanks. Other comments? Okay, let's talk about the new applications.
Al Barker, I have one question.
Yeah, Al.
On the process. I wasn't clear if the submission of the protective order, I mean, I know that Cat Creek's not going to submit the financial information to anybody other than you up front, but are we going to see the motion and the proposed protective order ahead of time, or are we going to wait until after you make your decision, and then if we have issues with it, raise it at that time?
Well, certainly the motion should be served on all the parties. I mean, the motion shouldn't contain any of that proprietary information. The information that's submitted will be as characterized by Mr. Budge in camera. We'll review the financial information. And the parties will have an opportunity to challenge any protective order that's issued by the director. I don't know whether Cat Creek will want to submit a proposed protective order. They have submitted previously a proposed protective agreement. But the protective agreement, I'm assuming, would have to be signed by all the parties. So I guess it's up to Cat Creek whether they propose a protective order. If they do, it needs to be distributed to the parties. I don't know whether what I said was helpful. Go ahead, Randy.
Yes, Director Gary and Al, certainly we certainly would file the motion as a pleading with the proposed protective order, as we did the proposed protective agreement, to get it out there to all parties. The only thing that we would not submit to the other parties would be the actual information that we deem confidential that we need the protective order on, of course. But as the director suggested, we can put a general description either in our motion or on the portal of the type of information that we will be submitting the director under seal for his review.
Other statements or issues? Okay, let's talk about the two new applications. Randy, do you want to talk about those applications? What they propose.
Sure, thank you very much. Yeah, thank you very much. We did file, the parties may recall that the two applications for permit are pending are 61-34403. That was the 100,000 acre foot for power generation that was filed May 16th of 2017. The other pending one is 63-34653 that was filed April 26th of 2019 for 30,000 acre feet for subscribed users. And the recent applications that have been filed are application number 63-34897 for 31,000 acre feet. That was filed on April 21st. The second one is application number 63-34900 for 19,000 acre feet. That was filed the following day, April 22nd. The current status of those permits are they underwent administrative review by Nick Miller, and they were submitted for publication on May 15th. The protest deadline on those then would be June 8th. I would comment that the two new applications, as well as the two initial applications, all have the same comment that there will be no water for use in Elmore County. And Specifically, Elmore County has been accepted out on the maps on the new filings. I would comment, we had anticipated that those applications would have been filed sooner than they were. They were delayed largely due to issues related to the COVID-19 pandemic. We were dealing with respect primarily to a new subscription with the city of Nampa. Like most governmental entities, their meetings and offices were closed, and that simply delayed getting that subscription agreement. So we didn't get those filed as soon as we had hoped, anticipating that the protest period would already have been run by way of pre-hearing conference, but it didn't work out that way. So that's kind of a summary of the filings, and I suppose the next point would be for the director to determine whether or not to go ahead and set a hearing schedule now on those dates that were tentatively reserved in the last pre-hearing conference, which were January 11th through 15th of 2021, or whether we wait until the protest period has run on these applications, so all parties are known and can participate. We don't care either way. We would propose the same as we did before. At the last pre-hearing conference, we had proposed that the two initial applications be consolidated for hearing and all purposes, and we agreed as well that because there were some protestants had filed on one or the other, and some had protested on both, we agreed that as a part of the consolidation of the initial two applications, that anyone who filed a protest on either of the initial applications could be deemed a party to the consolidated proceedings. We would propose the same here. If the parties agree, the director could enter an order consolidating all four of the permit filings for hearing purposes, either at this time or after the protest period is run, and without the need for any of the existing protesters to have to file as an additional protest on the two new filings.
All right, thank you, Randy. Based on Randy's statement, I will issue an order that recognizes all of the entities that or individuals who have protested either of the two pending applications in this contested case. I'll enter an order that recognizes those parties as parties to and protestants to the two pending applications that are now being published. And so the parties then will not need to file additional protests to the two new applications. I am reluctant to set a detailed schedule for hearing preparation where the two applications and the notice of the applications is currently being published. I don't know that we'll attract any new protestants given the number of protestants we already have, but I don't know that, and I think we need to include all of the parties. And I'm also a little concerned about the possibility of some contest related to a protective order if the director issues one following the submittal of financial information. So it seems to me that some of those hearing preparation deadlines might be premature right now. As I said before, I will issue an order authorizing discovery, which is required by the department's rules. But it seems to me many of the other deadlines for preparation are probably premature at this point. Comments from the parties.
Do
Direct Spackman. This is Charlie Hunsinger.
Yes, Charlie.
Director, you mentioned that you would issue an order making the protestants parties to the two new applications. How will the interveners be treated?
Well, if they're interveners and they've been recognized as parties, they will be parties to the new applications as well, protestants. We'll just call you protestants. Other questions? Okay, I guess the last matter, we probably should schedule another pre-hearing conference. And it probably should be shortly after the, 30 days from today is, I haven't looked at it, but it will be approximately, 31, 2, 3, 4, it's like it'll be about June 17th. And as stated by Randy Budge, the protest deadline for the two new applications is the 8th of June. So I think we should try to schedule another pre-hearing conference sometime in July. Anybody have any, as many of us as there are, shall they just start picking days? How about the week of the 19th of July? Let me just...
Director, this is Peter Anderson. If we can avoid that, I'm on vacation.
Okay, that's what I'm looking for. How about the 26th of July? That's a Sunday, but that...
Peter Anderson again, same answer.
Well, you didn't help me much.
Peter, you're not allowed to go anywhere. What are you talking about?
The first 2 weeks of July, I'm wide open.
Well, it seems to me that I ought to have time 17th of June. All right, well, let's look at the week of the 12th of July.
That week is fine for us, Cat Creek.
How about this?
This is James. As far as I know, it is. I would rule out a Monday, though.
How about the 16th of July? Any naysayers? Ten AM? That puts me on a short schedule to get an order out. That's okay. All right, 10 AM, July 16th. Anything else today? Garrick?
Director Spackman?
Yes.
This is Dana Hofstetter again. I apologize, but I think there's some confusion among the council and the parties as to whether Cat Creek Energy intends for the hydro portion of the project to be integrated with the solar and wind, or whether it's going to be freestanding separate from the solar and wind components. I think it's at the September pre-hearing conference, Cathy mentioned that they had changed their plan and the hydro was going to be separate from the wind and the solar, but some of the other councils don't seem to recall that, so I was just wondering if they could clarify what their current thinking is at this point. it goes to the scope of the project, and it relates, you know, to the water right issues and the scope of the issues that are involved in this proceeding, you know, the environmental and public interest issues as well.
Randy, do you wish to speak?
Randy, I can field this one if you wish.
James, do you want to, James Kirkulis, I'll let him address that. I envision this only related to the hydro battery component, not the other aspects of the project.
That is correct. Our water rights are only incumbent to the hydro portion and the energy storage portion of the project.
The water rights relate to the hydro portion, but is the hydro portion going to be connected or in any way receiving power from the wind or solar, or are they separate components?
Dana, that's a fair question. According to how we are working through negotiations on power right now, I would say that they are at this point in time separate and not necessarily being used for direct storage into the reservoir.
Okay, thank you. That was my recollection from the September pre-hearing. That you had mentioned that the hydro was going to be separate from the wind and solar. So thank you for confirming that.
Okay, other parties? Thanks for your participation.
Director, Dave Tuffield.
Excuse me?
I do have one comment. Yeah, this is Dave Tuffield. And you know, at the last pre-hearing conference, the question was raised about if there would be any place of use of Elmore County for this project. And I responded to you that no, Elmore County was not included in the place of use. There is one exception to that I'd like to just mention here, and that's that water right application 63-34897 does provide for irrigation of lands in the Wood Creek Ranch project, which is adjacent to the Cat Creek Reservoir project. And while it's in Basin 63, those lands are in Elmore County. So that's an exception to what I had said before, that as far as the downstream use, Elmore County is excluded. So, for example, in Water Right 63-34900, the last application that was filed, Elmore County is excluded, as mentioned by Randy Budge, and also Camas County is also excluded. So just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you, Dave. Anybody else? Thanks for your participation and patience today. Have a great day. Green button, lower left, should be off, isn't it?